We use a lot of words. In our vocabulary, English vocabulary, there are over 228,000 words. And so there are times that we don't understand what a word is. But we have the dictionary, and we can go to the dictionary, and we can look it up in the dictionary, and we can find a description of the word, and we can go through it. And a lot of times, some words have different meanings. We know that. One of the English language can be sometimes quite difficult. And you need that dictionary. And you got to look at that, what that word is in its context and its meaning at particular times. There is, you know, the most famous scripture that people use in the Bible is John 3:16. And there's controversy on a certain word in that verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, that's the controversial word, believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, we have many different beliefs, depending on which minister you want to listen to, of it's okay just to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You know, if you just believe in God and have faith, you don't need to keep the law, you don't need to do anything. Actually, you wouldn't even need the Bible if you just had to believe. But ministers will still use the Bible and give sermons. So what is accurate? Again, as there's many different beliefs, we don't need to get into all that. What does UCG teach on that particular scripture as the introduction to this message? Now, we could get into the Greek words and we could siphon it out, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go to the scriptures because it's very clear. Very clear for those who are being called and responding. Matthew 7:21, I'd like to start there, because Jesus Christ actually makes the statement. If you just believe in me, you're not going to be in the kingdom of God. Matthew 7:21, Jesus Christ says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, meaning I believe, I have faith in you, I know you exist. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So you can break down that word, and that word believe is not just believing, but it's believing and acting upon that belief of what God the Father says we're supposed to do. Just calling on our Master for eternal life is not enough. Just saying that we have faith is not enough. James chapter 2, you know, clarifies this. James chapter 2 says that the demons believe. Those that hate God's way of life, those that are destructive, hurting others, that put off, you know, the influences of evil, they believe. I have faith. So does that mean the demons, all they have to do is believe and not act and have faith that they can have eternal life? We know what is going to happen to the demons. James chapter 2 says in verse 18, talking about individuals, where this James is talking about this. Hey, you have to do more than just believe. Just say you have faith. There's more to it than that. He says, but, and so he's going through this process and says, someone will say, I have faith and I have works. He says, show me your faith without your works. In other words, that's impossible. He says, and I will show you my faith, I believe, by my works, by what I do, by what God says I'm supposed to do. And then he says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Well, even the demons believe this and they tremble. He says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So just believing that God is God and that you don't have to keep the law, he says, is dead. To me, that is very clear. Jesus Christ tells us in John 14, 15, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, do what I say. I didn't come here to die so you didn't have to keep the law. He wants us to keep his commandments. So once we believe, we need to act. God is a God of order. He has a process. He's not all mixed up. He does things in an orderly fashion. And we know that through the scriptures. But today, there is a process. As God being the God of order and the God of process and doing things in order, and there's processes of things to be able to follow that order, I want to talk today about the process of being called and what we must do. And that's what I want to be able to bring out today for those who are new thinking about baptism. And I also want it to be for us as who've been baptized and who've received the Holy Spirit. It's a review process for us. And I think it'll be, for me, it was encouraging putting this message together. Because if we do not follow this process, we are going about it the wrong way. And again, God is a God of order. And we need to follow this process, and we need to follow this process in this very way, or we will not have the understanding. You know, faith, as I was just talking about here, faith is an action word. I want to turn over to John, and as we're talking about words and the word, talking about Jesus Christ here in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. So here's the Word, capital W, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He is the Word of God. He's the spokesman of God, and he's inspired the Bible for us to be able to be instructed by. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this was from the beginning of time. We can't comprehend that, but they've always existed. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Satan did not create anything. Some people say Creighton created the dinosaurs. No, it just says right here that all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made, physically and spiritually. All things are made through him. We were made physically. And our spiritual life, he's the one who helps us and feeds us. And it's through his dedication of obeying the Father and dying that we might be able to have life, to know God, to have that relationship with God, as we heard in the first message. And the life was the light of men. So their character traits, their way of their character, their thoughts, their processes, and how they live is instilled in us through the Holy Spirit, all made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the light shines in darkness. And so when we live that way of life, we're going to shine on this earth in darkness. Even though there's sun, the darkness that's being talked about is the world. Satan is the god of this world. Still is. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. No. God, he is the God of this world. Since Adam and Eve was deceived by the serpent, Satan, in the garden, and we had Adam who willingly disobeyed, and since they sinned, there's consequences, and we're dealing with those consequences today. But one day, the Word, Jesus Christ, is going to come back, and Satan will be eliminated. But that is in God's time. So In the Bible study last week, we heard that, which I thought was a very good Bible study regarding faith. And the Bible says that without faith, we cannot please God. Those who are here heard that Bible study, went in depth about faith. And faith is an ongoing process, an ongoing thing that we have in our lives. But this is, faith is a calling from God. Faith is a gift from God. Not everyone in the world receives this gift. Ephesians 2:8. As Mr. Kennedy was reading in that particular area there, that faith, it says, faith is a gift from God. And in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, what does Paul say? We were created in Christ for good works. It's through him that we're able to do good things, which God prepared beforehand, from the beginning of time, before time even started. And what should we do? That we should walk in the commandments, that we should do them. And the reward, as we heard earlier, is eternal life. The reward for our faith, if it's kept, if we're growing and living that faith, leads to salvation. We grow in God's words. We grow through the word, Jesus Christ, and we grow through these words, inspired by God. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith, how does faith come? It's a gift from God. It comes from hearing, as God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, and hearing by the word of God, and also these words in the Bible. That's how we grow. So the first step in this process, and this process has to be this way. So if any of us think that we're called and we've been baptized and we have God's Holy Spirit, but this process wasn't followed, then we need to probably ask some questions. First step is to be called. We have to be called. John 6:44, we're not going to turn there, but it's to be called and to respond. Right? Some people are called and they just, oh, I don't want to keep the law. I can't keep the law. And they go by the wayside. But the first step is to be called and respond to God and to be taught through his ministry, through Jesus Christ, the Word. Ministry teaches the Word of God. As an example, God gives us an example over in Acts chapter 8. For those that are being called by God and have all kinds of questions and cannot understand and are confused, God gives his true ministers the aid to those individuals. That's how the process works. Acts 8, verse 26, where we're going to be seeing a individual here, says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Philip is a, right here, an apostle of Christ, a minister, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he rose and he went. So he's following, he's doing what God's instructing him to do, what God's true ministers will do. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who this individual had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he came to Jerusalem to worship. He's seeking God. Something's moving in his mind and he's responding. And was returning to go back, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. So he's reading some scriptures in the Bible and he can't understand what it's saying. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Go and see this man. I'm calling this individual. He has questions. You need to help him out. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And the individual says, he said, how can I unless someone guides me. We cannot, of our own understanding, you know, if we don't understand, we're confused. The Bible will guide us. The Bible will teach us. We're moved through God's Holy Spirit. But if we have questions, God works through his ministry and how we work through the United Church of God. So he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And so he is reading the scriptures. He asked him to help him through the scriptures. And as you go through the story, you find out that the process goes that he did believe and he was baptized. But he was convicted. And the ministry of UCG will not baptize someone just because they believe that God is God. And that, yeah, I need to keep his commandments. There's more to it than that. Verse 37 says, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart. So there's more to it than that. God has to grant repentance. And as you go back before that, in verse 9 of Acts chapter 8, here's an individual, Simon the sorcerer, who was baptized, who did change, who wanted to live God's way of life. But you know, when we change and want to live God's way of life, we still need to be guided, as what was happening here with Simon. Simon was baptized, and he saw individuals receiving the Holy Spirit, and he saw what power it was able to do, and he offered money to be able to receive that Holy Spirit because he was a sorcerer. People would pay him money and he would tell them things. He was a sorcerer. And that's how he thought that worked. But what does Peter say in verse 20 of Acts 8? But Peter said to him, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. So he's correcting Simon. So in our calling, we can be corrected. But it's how we respond. Simon responded right in a right manner. But Peter was telling him, that is wrong. You're sinning. And Peter is pretty bold here and forthright in saying, this is wrong. He doesn't let it go. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. He says, repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And what does Simon do? Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which I have spoken may come upon me. So he's convicted in his heart. And when he's corrected, and when we're corrected, we respond in a rightly manner to change and to follow direction. And that was Philip again and Peter here guiding Simon. John chapter 8. Now it talks about different types of words. And Jesus Christ was very clear when he came to this earth, when he came to die, as God the Father sent his Son, and Jesus Christ was very willing to let us know that, hey, there is a God of this world, but it's a false God. And Jesus Christ says in John 8, verse 37, he says, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees because they're arguing with him, and they don't want to change. They want to hold on to their own perceived ideas. He says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, Jesus Christ says, but you seek to kill me. Here's God the Father. They seek to kill him. Satan wants nothing to do with God. He wants to throw him off his throne. So if he's the God of this world, what type of influence is he putting in people's minds? He's powerful. We can't attack him. We can't stand up against him. In the model prayer, we're asked to pray to be delivered from the evil one. And God does do that. He puts a hedge around this world to a certain extent. Otherwise, Satan would wipe everyone out. God has a plan. So they wanted to kill Jesus Christ. He said, I speak what I have seen with my Father. I'm here to speak these words. I am the Word, and I'm here to speak these words that are in this Bible. And they didn't want to listen. They didn't want to follow it. That's exactly Satan and what he represents and what he influences individuals to be like him. And you do what you have seen with your father. Your father, the devil. They do not want to change. But, verse 47, for those who are of God, Jesus Christ says, he who is of God hears God's words. Those who are called, all right, and respond to that calling are hearing my words. Because here we have the scribes and Pharisees and individuals who didn't want to respond to God's words. They had faith in God, that God existed, and they said, we are Abraham's God, but they didn't want to change. Satan put that there. He put that in their minds. They couldn't overcome it. They couldn't resist it. They held on to their own ways. You know what we heard in the first message? They couldn't give it up. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. The true God. Didn't want to follow. So we can ask, what words are accurate? What preachers are preaching this type of truth? There's many preachers, many different types of truths. Now that's just the first step. Ephesians chapter 4, 11. I don't need to turn over there, but if you want to write it down for those who are thinking about baptism, we've gone through this many times. I think in the last couple Sabbaths, we've turned over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:11 says, ministers of Christ, they're called and appointed by God the Father. He's the one who chooses. Now the process of UCG, the ministers, we'll look for an individual if God is calling, see if he meets the criteria. There's fasting, there's prayer. I mean, there's a lot of critiquing going on to make sure that an individual is one that God is calling. And so we follow that process. Self-appointed ministers are not inspired by God. Now, can they have some truth? Sure. They can have some truth, but they're not going to be full of truth. And we have to be aware. Okay, so if it's a minister of God that God works with to help those who are being called and works with the brethren, what does a true minister of God teach? Now, if we're on this process, okay, well, if we're going to start talking about Christmas and, well, that's not, we're going out of step. There's a lot of things that can be talking that we'll be talking about. We could be talking about keeping God's commandments. We could be talking about how deceitful this world is and all these issues that we need to keep the Sabbath, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We can be keeping a lot of God's laws. But this next step is God wants us to see who we are. 2 Timothy chapter 2. A minister of God is going to teach God's word. And we got to be so careful up here as we speak God's word. Sometimes we could be talking and we think we said something, but we said something different. You know, so it's always good to check us, but it's God's word. It's not my words. If I yield to God and I'm obeying God and I'm yielding to him, he can work with me as he can work with you. But the next step is 2 Timothy 2:24. It would be to help us to see who we are, that we have a sinful nature. Because we can keep the command, certain commandments of God, and it's like, I'm pretty good. I'm not that bad. And, you know. But no, we have a sinful nature. Verse 24, 2 Timothy 2. And so this minister of God must be a servant of the Lord. He must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So it's correcting those who are in opposition, as we just saw Peter do and over in Acts chapter 8. So then it says here, if God will perhaps grant them repentance. So God, we teach, we do, we live, we're humble, we teach God's word, but God is the one who has to grant the repentance. And so they can know the truth. Without God granting repentance, none of us could know the truth. Because we read earlier in Ephesians 2:8 that faith is a gift from God. It's just not saying, oh, I can believe. No, it's a gift. He reveals to us that we need to believe, and then we need to act upon that belief. So that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses. So if God doesn't grant repentance, we're not going to be able to come to our senses. God has to grant the repentance for us to be able to see. And escape the snare of the devil. It's very clear that there is a devil and that he's there doing whatever he can. Having been taken captive by him to do his will. All right? So if we're not given that repentance, then we don't respond to that repentance. We're held captive and we're doing his will. We're not doing the Father's will. And then once we come to our senses, God can give repentance. Proverbs chapter 1, we can understand. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Right? God has to open our minds to be able to see this. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and direction. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma. Something that you can't understand. Something that, a riddle. This book, God opens it up so that we can understand. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words. God's words. If we listen, if we don't take, we can't take this lightly, brethren. We cannot. And treasure my commands within you. And this isn't easy. It takes a relationship. So that you incline your ear to wisdom, that you want to hear. And apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, help me to understand, help me to see. Because once God grants us repentance, we have to keep asking. We can't stop. As we'll look at here in just a little bit. And then as we turn over to Acts chapter 2. And he says, and you lift up your voice for understanding. And you seek her as precious metals, as silver. So it's something you need to be seeking, something you need to be doing. God opens our minds. He helps us to see that we're digging into this, that we need to be doing. Sounds to me like it's more than just believing in God to have eternal life. We must be like David. You can write this down and read the chapter in Psalm 51. And we know, we've been told, we've talked about it quite a bit, that God said that David was a man after his own heart. Well, read Psalm 51 and look at it from what David is doing. David was a sinner, just like us. We can stand back and we look at David and we can see all his sins. I'll tell you what. If I was David, and I was up here, I mean, it's just as someone looking out, he'd be able to see all my sins. We can see each other's sins when we get to know each other, but it's hard to see our own sins. But what is David saying in Psalm 51? I'm a sinner. I need help. Cleanse me. Wash me. And he just begs God that I have a nature that's contrary to you. If David did not do that, and he kept the commandments of God, he would be nothing. It starts, that next step is, my nature is bad. It needs to be cleansed. I need a Savior. I need help. I need to know the ways of God, and he's the only one who can show us. Romans chapter 10. And this is the process. This is what David was doing. This is why David was a man after God's own heart. Not because he was the king and he was powerful and he gave him all these things and he was killing all these people and he was lying and cheating. David recognized and saw that that was wrong. When David was pointed out his sins at times in his life, he responded. And that's what God wants us to do. Romans 10, verse 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what David was doing. He was called. He was responding. God showed him his sins. God granted repentance. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. David was crying out to God, I need help. I can't do this on my own. Verse 4, still in Romans 10, for Christ is the end of the law. Jesus Christ paid the death penalty, so we didn't have to pay that, our death. As Mr. Elliot brought out, for Christ is the end of the law, the lake of fire. We don't have to go into the lake of fire because Jesus Christ died, right? And so then he could be resurrected, and then we could grow in his life. For the law of the righteousness to everyone who believes. For Christ is the end of the law. For righteousness to everyone who believes. So we must be like David. We must recognize and understand that we have a bad nature. And then once we have that bad nature, for those who are not baptized yet, and they're seeing this process, Acts chapter 2, verse 37, is the process, the baptism. That's the next step. And for those of us who were baptized, this is the process hopefully we went through. Now, when they heard this, when they heard this understanding that the ministers were teaching, the ministers of God, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're sinners. They recognized and saw that they were sinners for forgiveness of sins. To be baptized, we must see that we are sinners, that we have a lot of sin, and that those sins need to be forgiven. Sin is a barrier, a relationship between us and God. Those sins have to be washed away. And that's what happens at baptism. And then the next step, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So then the Holy Spirit comes. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call, and for us to respond. So it is through God. He opens our minds and we need to respond. Ephesians chapter 1, talking about baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. There's a process too. If we were baptized, and I know there's different thoughts on this, different teachings on this, and even at UCG, or I'd say worldwide, were teachings and thoughts that, you know, maybe if I was baptized in a different religion, that, you know, some ministers would say, well, that was okay. Now, if that was done out of ignorance, or they were just saying that, what does the scriptures say? Ephesians chapter 1. And that's what we want. Jesus Christ is the Word. And these are the words inspired by Him for us to read and to gather and to implement into our lives. And this is the step process. If we bypass any of these steps and we're in the church thinking that we're okay, what are we reading? What does it say? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In Him you trusted." You trusted in God. How? After you heard the word of truth. So after you heard the word, who helps you with understanding the word? It's through a minister of God. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed. So this process is a belief process of believing and responding. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. At baptism, who does the laying on of hands with the individual? It's a true minister of Jesus Christ. It's not that the minister gives the Holy Spirit. The minister is only a tool. We are nothing. We are just doing what the process is. So it's a true minister of Jesus Christ who teaches the word, and it's a true minister of Jesus Christ who does the laying on of hands, or the ministers, whoever's there at the time. So it's the Holy Spirit of promise. A promise of what? For it is the guarantee of your inheritance. We get a little bit of that, that we get to use, for eventually we can be spirit beings. Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So it's all through Jesus Christ, the Word, that we're able to grow and to live. And God has a process. He has an order. And we don't want to bystep any of these steps in this process. He says, Jesus Christ says in John 8:12, says, "He who follows me will have the light of life." Follows me. First Corinthians chapter 2. I just want to continue this. I think it's important to not just paraphrase this, but to turn over there. That we need this Holy Spirit through this process that God has put in order, so that we can grow and that we can learn and that we can recognize and see that, and not deceive ourselves of who, when God grants us repentance, and recognize and see that we're full of sin and we need those sins forgiven. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So he's saying, I'm not coming to teach anything about me or what I think. He came to teach the word, Jesus Christ, and the instructions that He was taught. "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human reasoning, of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but of the power of God. If you had time, just continue reading that chapter. Because it is through the process of having the mind of Christ, which comes through the Holy Spirit, through this particular process that we're talking about. Let's go forward to 1 Corinthians 15 as we're wrapping this up. We're just reading the scriptures. Hopefully God has given us the understanding. And if we're confused and don't quite understand, we have the ministry that we can lean on. And if the ministry doesn't know the answers, because I don't know all the answers, I have ministers above me. If I don't know, I want to say I don't know. I want to help you. It's not about what Monty Knutson knows, because Monty Knutson knows nothing unless I'm yielding to God, and I'm following this process as well. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. So we don't need to be embarrassed. Our salvation depends on it. We don't need to be embarrassed at all. We sometimes may think we are, and that's very understandable, but we can pray to God and ask for guidance and help and direction. So 1 Corinthians 15, 45 says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being." Physical flesh. Okay? We were born physical flesh. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. He teaches us spirit. He is spirit. Verse 21, go back. "For since by man came death." Okay, so we were dead in sin. "By man," and man right here is capitalized with an M. "For since by man came death," talking about Adam, and here we have "by man also came the resurrection of life." Jesus Christ is the resurrection of life that we heard in the first message. We're reconciled back to God through his life. And as you see this word "man," it stands alone by itself. It's capitalized. He's the Word of God. We don't want to let our words fall loosely on our tongue when we say, "Oh man," because that is a euphemism. Jesus Christ was the Son of Man. He's the powerful God being. We want to be careful when how we use our words, how we're instructed. Just a sidebar right there. But Satan will do anything he can to get us to fall by the wayside. We know that. And those that are thinking about, those of you thinking about baptism, you think it's going to be an easy path? When you come to the ministry and you're counseling for baptism, it's not going to be an easy path. If you come to me, I want to know without a doubt that God's going to grant you repentance. And we're going to pray, we'll fast, we'll seek it, we'll go to the scriptures. And then when you say you're ready, I'm going to say, you know what? If you turn your back on God's word, I'm going to turn you to the scripture and says, you're going to be dead forever. You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. It's a huge responsibility. And it's not a cakewalk. It's not an easy road. You're tested. You're tempted. God wants to know without a doubt that you're going to be in his, that you will be the right person in his kingdom. He wants us to build his character, to get rid of this father of this world and put on the new father, and that takes time, but he wants us to endure. He gives us encouragement, he gives us the ministry, he gives us each other to help each other. Verse 33, do not be deceived. There is a process, brethren. It's a process that we must follow. Satan does want us to follow this process. He wants us to think that we're okay. He says, evil company corrupts good habits. If we're hanging on to this world, whether it's someone else or it's ourselves, that evil company, Satan, corrupts good habits. We need to get rid of him. We need to get rid of anything about him. Anything that's going to force us or move us to disobey God. He says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. Well, what do you mean do not sin? I thought we just read that we do sin and our nature is evil and it's wrong. Well, it is. What it's talking about here is awake to righteousness and do not sin. Do not remain in sin. Do not continue in sin. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who can, we can go before the Father with Jesus Christ at his right hand, and we can say, Father, you've called me, you've guided me, you're opening my mind. My nature's wrong. The things that I'm doing is wrong. Please forgive me. Through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who sits at your right side, so that you can wash me clean and you can hear this prayer, as David prayed in Psalm 51. And if we don't do that, he says, for some do not have the knowledge of God. So if we don't do that, we're not going to have the knowledge and the understanding and grow in his ways. I'm just reading the scriptures. And this is our process and our calling. And this is the process for those who are thinking of baptism. Is God calling you? You don't want to run from it if God's calling you. You want to embrace it. It's an awesome calling. And what God has in store for those who are his in the first resurrection, we cannot comprehend. Go back to verse 20. It says, if we're faithful. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Those who have died. We die, our last breath, and this is our how we've been living, and this has been our thought process. You know, we're waiting for Jesus Christ to return. Verse 23, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. So those who are dead in the grave waiting, and those who are still alive when Christ returns, we come in the air and to meet Christ. Go forward, verse 50. Paul says, for this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If we do not want to be thinking that we're okay, hanging on to who we are and that I'm a pretty good person, can't hang on to that. Because he says, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. It's impossible. This is a process. This must be followed. And it's through our Lord and Savior that we can be saved. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we should all be changed. So he's saying, you're not going to stay in the graves dead forever. Or if Christ comes back and you're living this way of life, you're going to be my son. You're going to be my daughter. Titus 1 verse 2 says, God cannot lie. As we grow in this faith, when you pray to God and you live to God, and you get down on your knees and you pray to God, you will know that he is hearing you. You will know it through the processes of this calling. And it all comes back, right? This whole process all comes back to that first scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16. About believing. About eternal life. So in conclusion, you know, God's children, I want to be his child. This whole world will eventually have an opportunity. And we're no better than anyone else. Just thank God for his graciousness and calling us and giving us life. This opportunity to be involved with knowing his word. And to be able to understand these scriptures and the process and how this works. Because God's children are very precious to him. God hated sin so much and loves us so much that he sent his son to die. That's amazing. That is amazing. So the road to eternal life is to be called and to keep responding. And doing God's will. And there's a process in that as well. Let's close with one last scripture. 1 John 1, I know I'm going a little bit over time. I'm not sure how long Mr. Steve Kennedy went, but I thought this was just very important for individuals that God is working with. And I know God is working with some of you in this room that are not baptized yet. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. Who is John talking about here? He's talking about Jesus Christ, the Word. From the beginning of time, the Word existed with the Father. That which was from the beginning, which we heard, is what he's saying. I mean, Jesus Christ dwelt among them, the ministers, the apostles at that time. They heard the words of Jesus Christ, which we have seen with our eyes, Jesus Christ, which we have looked upon with our hands and have handled concerning the Word of life. So he's saying, I was with him. I was taught by him. And now I'm teaching you. This life was manifested, came as a spirit being that existed forever, came in the flesh, willing to die for us, willing to risk his eternal life if he ever sinned just once. That shows a lot of love that they have for us. Should tell us that God's way is an amazing way. And God's way works. And he says, and we have seen, and we bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. We're teaching this to you through the process that God has ordained, that you may also have fellowship with us. You can have fellowship with us. We know we have an individual in our congregation who's hard of hearing. My friend, our friend, our sister, who's always telling me, and I see her telling others, oh, I love you. And she does that to me. And she does that to many of you. And she always says, I love you more. And you know what she says? She says, the only way I can love you more is if I have a relationship with God first. She understands that. We need to understand that. And we need to implement that into our lives. And that's what Jesus Christ is teaching us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father. That's where it comes from. It's with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So God gives us that instruction. He gives us this understanding. He gives us those words. These are God's inspired words for us to live by. We need to respond to this calling, brethren, and not let the darkness overtake us. My hope was that this message was helpful for those who are in the process of thinking that maybe God is working with them. They have questions. They want to be baptized. I'm hoping this was fitting for you. And I also hope that it was a reminder for us who have accepted this calling.